Of all of the villains in the Torah, one could certainly make an argument that the Meraglim are considered the worst of the worst, the one that received the most condemnation in the Torah itself, and certainly from Chazal. And yet, if we study the Psukim closely in the dynamic showdown between the Meraglim and Kalev and Yoshua, it's not immediately obvious what was so terrible about what they said. After all, as we read in Perek Yud Gimel, when they come back from their mission, having spied the land of Israel, and Moshe invites them to share the report with the people, we read in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Chav Zayin, Yisapru lo v'yomru bana el haaretz asher shalachtanu v'gam zavas chalav v'davashi v'zeh piriyah. They actually initially come and say wonderful things. The land is great. It's amazing. It's flowing with milk and honey. Look, take a look at these big, beautiful, delicious fruits. However, in the next pasuk, Chav Ches, it says, Efes, ki oz ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz va'arim b'tziros gedolos mod v'gam yaldei ha'anak re'inu sham. But you should know the people who are inhabiting the land are very mighty. The cities are very big and fortified. The people there are giants. Go on in the next pasuk to talk about the Amaleki and other people who dwell there. And it seems like they think it is going to be very, very difficult and very, very hard. And therefore they say, Lo nuchal alos, we cannot do it. But what's interesting is not only that they initially conceded that the land was very good and a land of holiness, there's nothing in the text in which Kalev or Yoshua or Moshe, or for that matter anyone, directly contradicts any of the substance of what they said. If there's no substantive critique of what they said, so what exactly was so bad? They didn't really lie. They didn't say anything essentially inaccurate. If they did, or if they would have, Moshe or Kalev or somebody would have called them out on it. So what exactly is wrong? So in a beautiful interpretation, the Alexander Rebbe, the Yismach Yisrael, explains that when the Meraglim said Efes, ki az ha'am, what they really were saying is as follows. On the first half, Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Dvash, we recognize not only on the superficial level about the physical beauty and deliciousness of the fruit and the land, but spiritually, this is a land imbued with tremendous spiritual power and potential, and we can feel that and we can see that. But, however, as they said in the next pasuk, Efes, ki az ba'am, what they really were saying on a deeper level, with this Hasidic, so to speak, interpretation, says the Alexander Rebbe, is what they were saying is, ze lumat ze, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created corresponds and is in proportion. And if there's that much potential for incredible spiritual success in the land of Israel, there is a corresponding and proportional possibility in Kochos of Tuma. If we will be falling short, if we'll be unworthy, unlike other parts of the world where maybe we'll only be a little bit bad, if you're bad in Israel, you go all the way. It's really all or nothing. And therefore, in essence, what they were worried about, suggests the Alexander Rebbe, is that maybe we won't be worthy. If we're going to be worthy, it'll be an incredible experience, we have no doubt. It's a land flowing with milk and honey on a spiritual and physical level. But maybe we're unworthy. What if we come up short? What if we don't have what it takes? What if we can't pass the test? Yes, there's great potential reward, but the risks are just too great. And therefore, they were scared because of the risks. Maybe we won't be worthy. That's why they didn't want to go. However, that begs the question, says the Yismach Yisrael. After all, we know that Yaakov, when he's confronting Esav, despite the fact that he'd already been promised great things by Hashem, he still says katonti. He's still worried. Maybe I'm unworthy of Hashem's blessings. Maybe when I was younger and I was more Yoshev Bo'ohalim, and I was just pure, but now, after all these years away from my father's house, maybe I've lost some of my edge. Maybe I'm not worthy anymore. Maybe Hashem won't protect me. Maybe I'm unworthy. He was scared, much in the same way the Meraglim were. Moreover, the Rebbe quotes from the Medrash that when the Jewish people were going out of Egypt, they were also scared. After all, they knew how bad they had been in Egypt. And they understood, look what Hashem is doing to the Egyptians. If we're not going to be able to live up to what Hashem expects from us, maybe there's no point in leaving. Maybe we won't be able to do it either. So Yaakov was scared. The Jewish people were scared. And yet, we don't make them into villains. They're not evil or villain number one in Jewish history. Yaakov is still the Bechir HaAvos. The Jewish people still end up going out of Egypt. They are rescued by Hashem. They're given the Torah. We are the Am HaNivchar. How come the Meraglim are so punished severely and treated so terribly throughout tradition because of their fear? But Yaakov and the Jewish people, respectively, were not condemned for their fear. So says the Alexander Rebbe, there's a fundamental difference. This is such a powerful insight. Yes, Yaakov was scared. Af shiarei l'nafsho pen yavo Esav v'hiko. He was scared that Esav would attack him and he wouldn't be worthy. Afal pikein asa b'chol kocho l'ucham imo. U'batachet atzmo b'hashem eshebavadi yazor lo v'yachat atzam, etc. As the pasuk says. It says, yes, Yaakov was scared. But what did he do with that fear? In the end, he put it aside, and he approached Esav, and he went to war with him if he needed to. He didn't let it deter him. Similarly, says the Alexander Rebbe, when the Jewish people left Egypt, yes, they were scared, but nevertheless, Mikol Malchum, Halchu Acharav, the bottom line is they left. And they're rewarded for the fact that despite their fear, they went anyway, as we, of course, famously say and sing, Zecharti lech chesed nu rayech, avas klu l'sayech, lech lech acharei bamidbar. Yes, they were scared. They had a reason to be scared. And yet, just like Yaakov, they put one foot in front of them, they went forward, they marched, they jumped into the water despite their fear. Yaakov went, confronted Esav despite his fear. On the other hand, Hamaraglim machmas shiru la yichtu chalila beretz neged Hashem, because they were scared that maybe in the future they'll be unworthy, they didn't listen to Hashem in the present. Vamru lo nuchal lalo, so said we can't go, and therefore they didn't go up. And that was the ikar hachet, says the Alexander Rebbe. Kama yelhem lachshov ma'iyah acharkach. Instead of worrying about what will be in the future, maybe in the future we'll be unworthy. Shem yichtu chalila acharkach. Halo gam im lo tishma ke'et lakol Hashem ata over el mitzvot ha-melech beis hazos. Bevadim utav liot besafek lachar zman. Melechto miyad bevadai. It sounds so obvious, but apparently it wasn't obvious to the Meraglim. They were worried that in the future they won't be worthy because they'll sin, and then they're going to get punished because it's going to be so terrible in Mitzrayim, in the land of Israel, excuse me. But says Alexander Rebbe, they're making a fundamental error. Because they're worried about in the future they won't do the right thing, now they're doing the wrong thing. Because they're worried that in the future they're going to do the wrong thing, so now they do the wrong thing? Yes, it made sense to be scared. There was nothing wrong with being scared. It was totally natural and normal. But a Jew, especially if he has the promise of Hashem behind him, despite his fear, has to jump in, has to take one foot in front of the other, and plow forward and trust in Hashem. That's what Yaakov did. That's what Jewish people did after Egypt. But that's not what the people did after the Meraglim. That's exactly what Kalev said. Kalev wasn't denying the fears or the risks. Kalev was acknowledging the risks. But he was saying, nevertheless, alone Allah, we can do it. Let's go for it. And yet the Meraglim were unbowed. Lo nuchal alos. They said they couldn't do it. And this is the fundamental fear, criticism, and this is the lesson we need to learn. Not that we shouldn't be scared. We should be aware of risks in life. But we have to trust Hashem and go forward and jump in anyway.